This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. In the state of Texas, the name Lady Bird commands enormous respect even today. Far fewer know the person who was Claudia Taylor Johnson. The tall, imposing shadow of LBJ could eclipse many a statesman, but how many people know that the LBJ treatment, rightly, was actually something of a joint effort, a partnership between the president and the first lady? Betty Boyd Caroli makes the case for the marriage that made a president in Lady Bird and Lyndon. Thanks very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You've literally written the book on first ladies, I mean, from Martha Washington to Michelle Obama, yet here you've broken out the story of Lady Bird and LBJ's partnership. What makes this story so special to you?
Well, in doing First Ladies, I decided that Lady Bird Johnson really wrote the book for modern First Ladies. I mean, she did a lot of things that now we take for granted, that they will have a project, that they'll campaign alone for their husbands, that they'll have a very competent, large staff that will have a project that complements what the president's trying to do. It goes on and on. And she really originated that role.
But this is also very much about LBJ also. I mean, early on, you talk about the courtship phase. It was clear the future president had ample notice the woman he would marry wanted to talk about the bigger ideas of life. I mean, economics, social systems. She was a woman who very much thought for herself.
Well, that's certainly true. And one of the things I wanted to combat with this book is the idea that she was a doormat, that he mistreated, he'd shout ugly things at her. People saw that side of her, and they didn't see the side that talked back, the side that he would wake her up early in the morning to talk about what to do in Vietnam or what candidate the Republicans were putting up or how they were going to run a campaign. And so if you read her unpublished diary, you see that he put great trust in her judgment.
I get a sense from reading this that he very much loved her, although part of this was mixed with his need not to be alone, of course. But it's long been thought by many Texans that LBJ, for all of his fondness for her, married her for her money. Where does that come from?
Oh, that story that he married her for her money, I think, is just so off base. First of all, there wasn't all that much money. And secondly, his letters make clear that he needed much more from a woman than money. He needed, he said, I want someone to nurse me and help me to climb. I want somebody who will be there for me and give me a little love. I mean, most presidents up to the Johnson's times married money. They married above their own families, in economic standing, often in education even. And that was true in Lyndon Lady Bird's case. I mean, he thought her education was better than his. So that's just such a misunderstanding of what drew those two people together.
I guess it was because, I mean, as you point out, when they got married, she had something like $60,000 or so, which would have been like $1 million back when they got married. And that was a lot of money. And she actually had business ventures like the, you know, when she purchased the radio station, for example, in Austin, which sort of became a little broadcasting empire, as it were.
Well, it's true. She inherited money over time. But if you'll notice in the book, she puts up some money for his first election in campaign in 1937. It was $10,000, which is quite a lot of money. But it was only about a tenth of what was spent in the campaign. And before she put up a cent, she went to an advisor, a man that she considered, she said, our brain trust. And she asked that advisor, does Lyndon have a chance in this campaign? And the advisor said yes. And she said, well, how much will it cost? And he said, well, you need to gather up $10,000. And so she called her father and said, I need $10,000 by Monday. I think she called him on a Saturday. And the father, who was tight with his money, as Lady Bird was, he said, well, won't $5,000 do? And she said, no, it has to be $10,000. So, you know, she sort of kicked the tires on that one before she bought the car. It wasn't like she was going to put up money for a losing campaign.
Mm-hmm. Something odd seemed to happen once he became vice president. He seemed to have more tantrums and fits of moodiness. And there were more opportunities for her to sort of, I suppose you could say, clean up after them. She became a kind of damage controller in chief during a great part of his presidency, did she not?
She did, but she had also been doing that before. I mean, you can go way back to the 1941 campaign, for example, when he chewed out his campaign manager and said, I never want to speak to you again. And the guy was ready to walk off. And she goes in and says, oh, he didn't mean it. We really need you. So she had lots of experience. She did a lot of damage control in the White House. That's certainly true. With staff. people that he would insult in the most vulgar terms, mm-hmm. and then she would have to clean up. One man told me a story. He was a White House photographer, and he was at the ranch. Lady Bird asked the photographer to go and photograph some wildflowers. So the photographer and his assistant went off to do that, and soon there was a helicopter to summon them back, and Lyndon was furious with them. Why did you leave when I needed you? And he really chewed them out. Lady Bird Johnson then came over and talked to the photographers. I'm so sorry this happened. It wasn't your fault. Don't think anything of what he said. And so the photographer said to me, he said, I don't know about Lyndon Johnson, but I would walk over hot coals for Lady Bird.
Lady Bird and Lyndon. Betty Boyd Caroli is the author. It's the hidden story of a marriage that made a president. Thank you so much for taking time to speak with us, Ms. Caroli.
Thank you.